Welcome to Season 3 of Soccer Over Gotham, an NWSL podcast covering New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC. Hosted by Ruby Pinto and Gary Gibson. Welcome to Episode 83 of Soccer Over Gotham. With the World Cup and Challenge Cup in a rear view for Gotham FC, we are back to the regular season. 6 games left to go. The chase for the playoffs and the Shield begin. We have a great show for all of you. Gary, what do we have in this episode?
Episode 83. That sounds like a lot. Just like this episode, we got a lot. We are going to try to make sense of the Gotham's loss to the Wave, a match where Gotham plays pretty well and just has no luck. A turf monster claims the legs of 3 Gotham players. Most of our national team players are back in action. Gotham officially signs a World Cup winner. Our guest this week is best friend of the show, Jenna Tonelli. We're going to get caught up on everything she's been up to, all the storylines and takeaways from the 2023 World Cup. And of course, we're going to talk about all things NWSL and Gotham. I just can't wait. Ruby, there's so much to talk about. Let's get started. How are you?
Let's get to it. I'm doing great, but I'm not going to lie. Kind of miss the World Cup now that it's over. Of course, I miss getting up at 4 or 5, 6 in the morning. Just kidding. Yeah. I don't miss that part, but I do miss the soccer part. So I started watching, after now that the World Cup is over, I started watching Korean drama on Netflix. Don't judge me. But it's actually good. It's really good. And my cousin has been telling me for years to watch it, and I haven't. And the other day I was watching and she couldn't believe I was watching a Korean show. But yeah, it's good. Don't blame me. Anyway, What you been up to?
No, I love Korean shows. As you guys know, there's this common theme that I keep bringing up that I don't watch any American TV. I watch all like British, everything else. If it's in a different country. Because like, that's why I read books. Like I read books to escape. Yeah. Like I don't want to relive what I'm going through here in the United States. I want to explore other places and learn about other people's lives and what they're going through and power structures and all that kind of stuff. So I love watching foreign movies and foreign TV. And the Korean shows are actually a lot of fun. They are a lot of fun. Just a lot of fun.
I'm enjoying
those shows.
It. Yep.
Yeah. All right. So this week, I turned down a promotion. I took 4 days off of work because this is my week between classes. I'm just hoping to reset this week. My brain feels pretty good. I'm getting some sleep. I got some projects done that I haven't been able to. I needed this.
Yeah. We've been saying before, I mean, mental health first and everything else will, it will be second. But yeah, I mean, turning down a promotion is huge, but if it's for your mental health, it's amazing. Just do it.
Yeah, it is. It was something I could I could probably handle, but like it just, the money wasn't enough to throw away the last bit of my sanity. So
yeah,
I'll cross that bridge when I get out of college. All right, let's get some Cloud 9 news. Cloud 9 Axe campaign is complete. We donated to the Black Alliance for Just Immigration. Obviously, I'm just proud to donate to an organization that educates and engages African-American and Black immigrant communities to organize and advocate for racial, social, and economic justice. And if you want to check them out, it is baji.org. Definitely go check them out.
Awesome. Yeah. I love that Cloud9 is always organizing these campaigns to help out the community. So it's amazing.
Being part of a supporter group is more than just like cheering on your team. It's about advocacy, not only for the team itself, but the community around you. They're amazing people. Cloud9goth.com and at Cloud9goth on Twitter, Instagram, all those. Find them, get a membership, join them at games for the tailgates. Definitely check them out. On to team news, we're going to shift to talk a little bit about hashtag Once Gotham. Elizabeth Eddy signed with Gotham West this week, Angel City. They just can't help themselves picking up Gotham players. And then Evelyn Vienz signs with AC Roma. Roma is just starting their season and have a matchup against hashtag Once Gotham, Sam Kerr, and Chelsea on September 3rd. That's exciting.
That is exciting. And it's so great to see Eddy sign with Angel City. I mean, she signed with Angel City as a national team replacement player, but she's been performing really, really well with the team, and they extended her contract now until the end of the year. So congrats to her.
Absolutely. Well, let's get to the big signing, the big news. New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC announced on Wednesday that the team has signed 30-year-old striker Esther Gonzalez through 2025 with a mutual option for 2026.
Amazing. This is amazing. And we've been waiting for this news for about 2 to 3 months when we kind of broke the news and it was just a rumor. But now it's official. It's official that Esther Gonzalez is coming to Gotham. We are all waiting for the news, like we've been saying, but it's official now. Thank God. You know, Gonzalez is a top goal scorer for Real Madrid, and now she's a World Cup champion. Amazing. It would be nice if she could help Gotham win a championship this season.
Absolutely. You heard it here first. Actually, you heard it here second. Relevo, shout out to them. Relevo.com broke the story on both Mai Lopez and Esther Gonzalez possibly signing with Gotham. Now, when I first read the story, I was like, okay, we're probably going to get one or the other. But wow, we got both of them, which is absolutely amazing. And I'm giving my thoughts in two parts. I'm going to talk about what this signing means for Gotham roster here. And then with Jenna in the segment two, I'm going to talk about what the bigger picture is for Gotham and the league. And as far as what she can bring to Gotham, Esther has 28 goals and 43 caps for Spain. And she's averaged more than a goal every other game for the last decade of her club career. Since the beginning of the season, despite this ridiculous roster, it felt like something was missing, which was a traditional nine. Lynn is sort of a tweener who tracks the whole field. Like, we tried Delaney there, but I don't think it plays to her strengths. When Katie showed up, it was instant. And we're like, okay, that is what we're missing. And five games, like, just talk about Katie herself. 5 games prior to Katie coming here, Gotham was 1-2-2, had scored 3 goals. We were shut out 3 times. And after the 5 games after her, 3-1-1, 9 goals scored, 0 shutouts. That's what a number 9 can do for this team. And Esther does all of her damage inside the 6. She's good off the ball, but her she's just patient and lethal in the box. Scored 16 goals last season with Real Madrid. Again, all inside the box. Averaged a goal per 90 minutes played. I'm just excited she's here in her prime and ours for many, many years to come. Let's go. We got a game to break down. Let's get to it. You know, Gotham this season has had a game delayed or rescheduled for thunderstorms, travel delays, wildfires, and now a hurricane. Thanks to this week's guest, Jenna, for pointing that out on Twitter. The game was moved from 10 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern. I don't know why the West Coast teams play so late in the day when they play East Coast teams. Like, that's just rude. Anyway, as mentioned last week, in the 3 tries, Gotham has yet to draw or beat the Wave and has yet to score a goal against them. Gotham has only lost 1 time in their last 8 matches and are 1 point from first place. If they win and the Courage and Portland tie, they are top of the standings. San Diego is without hashtag once Gotham Kalen Sheridan for a suspension. They are 6th in the table, but only 5 points from first place. This last stretch of games is going to be super, super exciting. All of the national teamers are free to rejoin the squad. How quickly they get back into the lineup is up to the team and the player. Some players need a little bit more time. Some players played more minutes. It's a physical, emotional draining tournament for different reasons. Some players just have reasons to stick around Australia, and that is fine. So just Taryn is out for the season, and Svava are out for this game. Speaking of Taryn, Amoros says that she's on schedule and slowly getting back to training. She's, quote, setting the standard on how to recover. I hope that they sign her to a new contract. I think this is her last year. She's on an extension. She fits well in Amoros' system. I'm just excited to see her back on the field eventually. All right, Ruby, let's get over to this formation. This is a 4-2-3-1. Stengel up top. We got Purse, Sheehan, and Fairley across. We have Cerboni and Martin as the two. And on the back line, we got Nyswanger, Jean, Lopez, which is interesting, and Bruninha and Smith in goal. Your thoughts, Ruby?
Honestly, I'm going to say it's really nice to see some of these internationals back and even starting in the starting lineup like Bruninha and Fairley. Last week, I asked for Maitane Lopez to get more minutes, and she gets a start. So I was really excited to see her start in this game. I really like that. Also, good to see Abby back on goal.
Yeah, a lot to unpack. I think it's a really interesting choice to go with Lopez over Freeman at center back. I kind of feel for Mandy at this point. I mean, what is she, like fifth choice center back at this point? It's a shame not having Lynn back. I really wanted to see Mitch, Stengel, and Williams across the front. Good that we get to see Fairley back at it. We missed her. She's a really good player.
Yeah, she is. And I really wanted to see Williams back as well. But I had a feeling she was not going to be back yet. I mean, her fiance lives in Australia, so I figured she would want to spend some time with him and his family over there. And by the way, I don't know if you saw this video where his niece, well, now her niece, I guess, has like a big poster of Sam Kerr in her bedroom and not one of Lynn Williams. It was super funny, that video.
I think we need to start this game breakdown talking about how many weather-related game delays we've had this season. It's been really, really crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it has become like the running joke for Gotham, but in all seriousness, like this global warming, like, is really affecting the planet. It's really affecting all these games, and every time we play, it's something new. A couple of days ago, there was an earthquake in LA while the hurricane was passing through San Diego, so it's craziness, like you said.
Yeah, let's definitely talk about this weather. I mean, the planet is on fire. I just imagine this is a new norm. We just recorded the hottest month in human history. Weather events are becoming more frequent at a higher intensity. You can just take a look at the active wildfire map on just the upper West Coast. It's incredible. There's like 100 of them. And Portland game had 2 water breaks just because of the air quality. It's craziness.
Yeah, and I think they should have postponed that game with Portland, but they played. I don't know why. Anyway, but also I want to mention the devastation that happened in Hawaii. The city of Lahaina was burned to ashes due to a wildfire that intensified by the winds of a nearby Hurricane Dora. Just to let everyone know, Gotham FC is selling a T-shirt to help Hawaii. 100% of the t-shirt sales, the profits will go to the Hawaiian Consul's relief efforts. So if you guys want to go ahead and help out, you guys can go to gothamfcshop.com/collections/Maui-wildfire-relief.
I got the notification that my shirt shipped today, so I'm very excited to get it.
I got mine yesterday. I'm so happy.
Oh.
Yeah.
I hope all of our friends on the West Coast are safe. But getting to this game itself, I think, Ruby, we do have to talk about that field. I think it was atrocious.
My God, it was terrible. Terrible. Players were dropping like flies on the field. And I mean, these are professional players and deserve better playing conditions, I believe. I mean, everything that could have gone wrong in this game probably did in this one.
You know, I don't like talking about the refs or like field conditions usually because it's like you just have to deal with it. But yeah. Wow, this is the problem you have when you have like 5 different sport teams playing in the same stadium. And that was supposed to be Kentucky bluegrass, but it looked like chewed-up field turf. I had people messaging me like, "Are you sure that's grass?" I'm like, "No, it is grass." It tells me there is grass, and they're going to play the final on that field. That's rough. I'm not blaming the injuries on that mess of a field, but it just couldn't have helped. And I think, I know both teams had to play on it. It kind of is what it is.
Yeah, but wow, five different sports teams playing the same stadium. It's kind of crazy. But the fact that, I mean, if there's 5 teams playing in this field, there should be like better maintenance for the field to accommodate all these teams that are coming to play here. I don't know. Hopefully they do better for the final.
Yeah, they, like all their college teams play there. It's a lot of teams that play on that. But let's talk about the highlights of this match. And obviously, we have to first talk about the injuries. You know, first Midge goes down, then Zerboni, then Abby Smith. And Amro says Midge was precautionary, which is good to hear. Zerboni left on crutches, not good to see. And Abby left on a tram. Honestly, let's just start with Abby. I think 2 things can be true at the same time. Losing Abby is, I don't even know what to say. I'm devastated for her in this club. When I said that Abby was the NWSL MVP, like I wasn't joking about it. I think she's really in the running for it. She's having an MVP caliber season. There's also the Olympics coming. Like I can't imagine the way she's playing that she's not going to be in consideration, you know, given that current form. It's a huge blow.
Yeah, it's a huge, huge, huge blow not to have Abby due to injury. And after she kicked the ball and she dropped to the floor and she was trying to crawl back to goal, that was devastating. She was in so much pain. It was hard to watch. And we have not heard what her condition is, but I think her season is over. I want to stay positive, but that looked really painful. Hopefully it's nothing big. Like you said, she is a strong contender for the Olympics, hoping for a speedy recovery for her. And another thing, can we talk about Martin on goal? That was like a Mia Hamm moment when she had to step up and put those gloves on.
Yeah, true team player. Shout out to her. The second thing that can be true at the same time, it's devastating to have Abby gone, if that's the case. But I'm going to say this as plainly as possible. Mandy is a number one keeper with a super high ceiling. She is the real deal. Like, I have zero concerns about Mandy if we have to ride her the rest of the way. Hashtag once Gotham goalkeeping coach Daniel Ball glowed of Mandy, and he says that she is a future U.S. number one. Unfortunately, as we can all see with Abby, just because a player isn't starting doesn't mean that they don't deserve to be, especially the keeper. She got stuck behind two starters in Didi and Kaylin, and then behind Abby, who's having a career year. I think we're going to be more than fine. I'm just trying to get everyone to calm down a little bit, if that's the case, because I think Mandy is really, really good.
Yeah, we have 6 games left in the season, so I believe Mandy Hott will do a great job and help this team get to the playoffs.
Yeah, again, I have no concerns with her as a keeper. Let's get to Zerboni. She was also playing some of her best soccer and was back wearing the captain's armband in Krieger's absence. You lose a good player and a leader. She's on a 1-year contract. Like, you just hope it's nothing serious because you don't want her to go out that way.
Yeah, when she took the armband off, I knew it was not good. And then I saw her sitting on the bench with a big bag of ice on her knee, hoping for her to also have a speedy recovery. We'll see if we can get more information on these players.
Now, we talked about something before the podcast, and we talked about how players need to take care of their bodies a little bit more. And we talked about Midge Purse and how they said it was precautionary. She noticed something was off, and then she took herself off the field, which is, I think that Allie Krieger is setting the example for the other players that you got to stay healthy. And if something is off, take care of it, come back. Yeah. It's a long season. We need you down the road. So that's a very smart move for Midge. Both Abby and Zerboni both went down, kept playing, and then went off. Mm-hmm. So I'm putting them on them. I've done the same thing as a player, but too. But I'm hoping that players see this and as an example of, okay, if something is wrong, get off, because it can get way worse than that. You might just exacerbate it, and a 2-week recovery might be a 2-month recovery because you kept playing on it. So yeah. But let's get over to the goal. What great work from Iffy to knock the ball down, and just an awesome job by Stengel for just hitting it cleanly and just finding the back of the net. Our first goal against the Wave.
Oh my God, it was incredible. It was such a great goal. I jumped really high from the couch when Stengel scored, really, really high. It was such an amazing goal, especially because, I mean, every time we play the Wave, we lose, but I was hopeful that we were going to at least like equalize and get a draw out of this. But I don't know, Gotham just needed like 10 more minutes to equalize. But unfortunately, that's not how it works. And we didn't equalize, but I mean, it's such a shame they lost. But I'm really proud of the team for fighting until the end.
Yes, styles make fights, and some teams just do better against other teams. For example, we had not beaten the Wave, we had not scored on them, and then they're going to play a team, the Orlando Pride, who they've never beaten, which is pretty crazy. So sometimes it's just the way it works out. This was our first goal in our history against the Wave, so I'm super excited about that. Hopefully that curse is broken, and then next time we play them, we can get a win and a big one. Let's get some takeaways. Obviously, it was not Gotham's night. Amoros called it one of the most unlucky games he's ever coached in. Gotham led in nearly every statistical categories. The pass map looks fantastic, and the waves look like a complete mess. Gotham was doing really well this entire game, and we lost so many players, ending with a backline that includes three midfielders. We had another midfielder in goal. Even in defeat, Gotham fought until the end. They never quit, and I'm just proud of the fight they had.
Yeah, I have to agree. They really fought until the end. Unfortunately, you know, it just didn't happen for Gotham. And fortunately for Gotham, they're stacked. Their bench is stacked. And even the bench players that came in as subs are great players. Like Ryan came in for Purse, and then Long came in for Sorboni. All these players are so talented. We have a stacked bench.
Yeah, speaking of Ally Long, she looked very much like the 2021 Ally Long. 95% passing overall, and she hit on all six of her long balls. She missed on two passes the entire night. Crazy.
You know, just Ally Long doing Ally Long things.
Indeed. Let's get to the post-game quotes. Neely Martin, she said, on going on in goal, she said, in college, one of her keepers got red carded and she went into goal and saved a free kick from the top of the box that was taken by none other than Yasmin Ryan. That's a funny story. And I want to say what I said earlier. Neely is a true team player. Proud of her.
This is such a great like story. Like, and it's so funny because she blocked Ryan. So it was amazing. And I don't know, but when Abby went down, I knew there were no more subs. And I started to freak out a little because I was like, all right, so who's going to be the keeper? Who all of all these players was going to be the keeper? And then I saw Martin in the little like pink jersey that the goalkeepers wear. And she looked just so chilled and confident. Then I felt confident as well.
Yeah. All right. Amaro says this group of players and staff are a group fans should be proud of. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong today, and sometimes that happens. But when things go against you, how you react is what matters. And honestly, if it's one thing that's defined this team over the 3 years we've been covering this, Ruby, it's that they never die, they fight to the end, and that is New Jersey core mentality.
Yeah, definitely love the mentality of this group of players and the team and everyone at Gotham. And that's really true. How you react is what matters.
All right. Any stats of the game?
Gotham had 7 corners this game. And I still think this is a big opportunity Gotham should take advantage of.
Yeah. I've been watching that Mitch Purse 91st episodes. Yeah. This brings us over to the stat of the game.
Yeah. I was like, sounds like our show.
Yeah, they stole our format. How dare
this
they?
This is presented by us.
This is also a podcast about. Yeah. All right. So the press is working again, and Gotham continues to hold opponents for the majority of the game in their half. The Wave had only 52 passes in Gotham's half of the field, whereas Gotham had 203.
Ooh, wow. That's great right there. Mm-hmm. But don't you feel that Sheehan got robbed and this should be a stat as well?
Yeah, I can't, like, from the angle they showed us, I can't tell how they overturned that, but it is what it is. Well, we'll just say she got robbed.
Yeah.
But let's get to our player of the game over on Twitter at @OverGothamPod. Fans chose Stengel, 3 points higher than Martin. Thanks to the fans who voted. Do you agree, Ruby?
Wow, 3 points away from Martin. That's crazy. Or Martin away from Stengel. I'm just going to say make it 2 points because I say Martin was the player of the game for me just for stepping up there and looking so confident and chilled.
Yeah, it's Martin for me. I think just for stepping up, she had a solid game before that. Didn't have any work to do in goal for those last 2 minutes or so. But again, real team player. Thank you, Neely. Let's get to the standings. Now, Gotham is in third place after Houston did us a solid and tied the Spirit in the last second of regulation. We're still in the Shield hunt, being 3 points from first place.
I just want to say thank you to the Houston Dash. You guys are the MVP.
MVP of the weekend. All right. Next opponent is Racing Louisville at home. This is the final stretch. Let's go. Now, Gotham has only beaten Racing one time in 7 tries, 4 draws in that time frame. Racing is entering this match winless in their last 3 matches. However, They're returning some big pieces from the World Cup, and they were the club with the most goals scored during the World Cup. Last time out was a 1-1 draw with Angel City, where they gave up 20 shots and 11 inside the box. Ruby, your thoughts?
Yeah, so their World Cup players are back, and so are our World Cup players are going to be back as well. And let me say one name, or a couple names, actually. Lynn Williams and Christy Mewis. So they're going to be back. Plus, we're going to be playing at home. And I know Gotham will bring it. I'm going to say this is going to be 2-0. Gotham wins.
Welcome home. Hashtag once Gotham, Paige Monahan. Can't wait to see her in person again. Be nice. Racing always plays us tight. Racing is playing for their playoff lives, and Gotham has to do a better job of bottling up DeMello. She tore us apart last time out. I like our chances at home. Captain Krieger should be back in action, and Krieger and Purse were absent the last time we played Racing Louisville. I think we're going to do much better this time. So what are we manifesting this week, Ruby?
So I'm going to keep it simple. I just want to win. We need a win.
Yeah, let's get that going. I got health. I just want quick recovery from all of our injured players. Let's get them back on the field and playing again. Any random thoughts before we go?
So actually, I do now. So I'm going to Texas to a concert, and everybody was like, why are you going to this concert? What's so good about this concert? So I'm going to this concert. It's a Mexican pop band, really, really famous, like 15, 20 years ago. Their name is RBD. And technically, that's how my wife and I met, because we love this band so much, and we like found each other on this forum online. That's how we started talking. So that's why this band is really special to us. And we're going to like go to Texas for their first concert. This is their reunion. They haven't been together for 15 years. So it's going to be really special.
Every great couple has a great meeting story, and I think yours is good as well. So I'm excited for you. That's going to be a lot of fun. And how long are you going to be there?
I'm going to be there for 3 or 4 days. Well, we're leaving Thursday. We'll be back Sunday.
Sounds good. So this is my random thought. So Front Office Sports is now saying that the valuations for the Major League Pickleball teams are valued at around $10 million. What the actual...
Exactly.
Is that?
Exactly. Like every time I hear about pickleball, is like it's growing so fast. It's kind of crazy. And I just want to say, I still want to learn to play pickleball. I think I will be a great pickleballer, if that's what you call them. I don't know. Anyone in North Jersey needs an extra player, I'm available.
I still don't know what it is.
I feel like it's like a mix of ping pong with tennis, badminton. I don't know. Just something like that.
Yeah.
But I think I would be good. I'm a fast learner. I feel like I'm a little athletic, so I can do this.
I know. I got that athletic mind too. I'm like, anytime there's a new sport.
Competitive. I'm very competitive.
Yeah, so. I can do it. But all right. So yeah, I'll try it. If someone's out there wants me to play, and I'll do it. As soon as I'm done with college, I'll become a professional pickleball player. Anyway, like the NWSL teams are valued at around like $10 million.
Yeah.
What is pickleball teams doing that they're valued at that much that quickly? That's ridiculous.
We got to get their playbook or their blueprint, whatever. See what they're doing.
Yeah. All right. So that's the end of our show. Let's go talk to best friend of the show, Jen Tinelli. We had a lot of fun. Let's do it, Ruby, shall we?
Let's go. Our guest tonight is none other than the best friend of the show, Jenna Tinelli, the Equalizer, the Local W, New York Post, New York Magazine, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Welcome to the show, Jenna Tinelli. Hey!
Thank you so much for having me. Oh my gosh, look at that bio. No, I'm kidding. No, I appreciate. I mean, the most important thing I could ever be called is best friend of the show. So that is all I care about right now. And I'm very pleased to be here, even though Gary gave me the boot the other week. I got kicked off for Hugh Menzies, but I understood. Yes. That was an amazing show. So I get it.
It always works out. It always seems that when you're on the show, some news drops. And of course, right?
I know. So it really happens.
It definitely worked out. And he was a good guest. Sorry I had to bump you for that. But
It's all right. I get it. But yeah, now we got some stuff to talk about.
Yes. Obviously, the World Cup has been made us all crazy busy. And we're all losing our minds. We're just getting it back. But I know your World Cup was pretty crazy. How did it go for you?
Oh my gosh. So yeah, it's definitely been a whirlwind. I was actually in Italy for a lot of the group stage, the opening match and all that. So I was able to kind of experience watching the World Cup while in Europe. And actually in 2019, I was in Italy for much of the World Cup. So I got to kind of see what it was like this year. But this year was actually really bad. So we don't have to like get into all the nitty gritty, but in 2019, the women's World Cup rights were sold as a package with the men's World Cup rights. So they were, you could watch it online, or not online, you could watch it on TV in Italy. This year was the first year they were not packaged together. So countries had to bid on the rights for the women's World Cup separately. Mm-hmm. And many countries in Europe, Italy included, like were given FIFA the runaround because they didn't want to pony up the what it's worth, quite frankly. Yeah. So they ended up striking a deal where all you could watch was the opening New Zealand game and only Italy group stage matches. And then you could watch all of the knockout round games. So I couldn't watch any group stage match that the US played in. So I was watching like replays online.
Oh.
Yeah. So that was really annoying. But so yeah, that I mean, and media coverage of the World Cup in Italy was also bleak. I'm actually like working on a piece right now about this for Equalizer.
Yeah.
I will not get into it too much here. So I did some fun stuff though. As you mentioned, I had the opportunity to get some features in the New York Post. Amazing opportunity. I'm so grateful for that. I did a piece on Lynn. I did an amazing piece on Sinead's comeback, which is honestly like the piece I'm most proud of, and getting the opportunity to kind of like hear her talk about her story and making it to a World Cup. Oh my gosh. So that will be pinned forever on my Twitter if anyone hasn't seen it. And then the funniest thing, I mean, not funny, but most random thing is that I did a radio appearance for BBC Scotland. To talk about the U.S., you know, when they got knocked out, they wanted to have someone on. I was so grateful that they reached out to me, but I had to like call in at 12:30 a.m. And so I was zonked. Oh my gosh. So that was an experience. And I got to go on the Spotify podcast Counterpress, which is hosted by Flo Lloyd Hughes, sister of Theo. So that was a pleasure to go on there, even though we had to talk about the U.S. losing. And then I did an interview with Abby Wambach for All for 11. So I was just like, bing, bing, bing. But it was a lot of fun.
My God, you have had quite a month. And you're going international. Scotland, seriously? That's awesome.
It was fun.
Yeah, but for real, I'm so happy for everything that you're doing. I'm happy for you. All the work is so great. All your work is so enjoyable. You and your wife are doing big things in the soccer world, which is amazing. Just keep doing what you guys are doing.
Thank you. Yeah, Adriana is the best.
Yeah, call-in shows are fun because just you have to call in on your phone, so you sound terrible, and it's just like it picks up all the background noise. So I can't get my cats off when I do those things. Yeah, it's just a mess. But let's just talk about the World Cup. Obviously, it's over. Just final thoughts on the tournament, U.S. or otherwise, just anything that like sticks out to you, any moment, game, anything. Go for it, Jenna.
Yeah, I mean, I have to be honest. I always just had this like bad nagging feeling going into this World Cup that the U.S. was not that they would go out when they went out, but I just had a feeling it wasn't going to be the three-peat. I don't know like what that was about. In my bones. But you know, either way, I think having a brand new winner is great for the sport. I really do think it's great for the sport. Of course, you know, some of the issues with Spain's success are complicated. No, we will talk about some of the things going on with Spain a little bit later. But ultimately, you know, I think what this World Cup showed is that around the world there is an appetite for women's soccer, and it's time for FIFA and the media and all these federations around the world to step it up and invest in their women's programs, because 2 million in attendance at that World Cup. I mean, for me, that's I think like the biggest moment, other than Sam Kerr's goal against England. That was just amazing. Oh my God. What a moment. I wish I was there.
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, let's start with the positives. Like you were talking about, about 2 million people went to the World Cup. We were breaking records in viewership where people by the millions were watching all these games, not just the final game. With that's positive. We had a lot of new countries into this World Cup, many new countries, you know, also scoring their first goal for their country. That was amazing to see as well. Like you said, we have a brand new winner this time, which is Spain. Spain has only been in the World Cup 3 times. And after 3 times, they won the World Cup, which is amazing. And I always try to be positive on this show, but I feel like we have to talk about this thing that's happening in Spain, how Rubiales and Dilba are tarnishing pretty much the win of the players, because this win was the players' success. I believe this is the players' World Cup. I don't want to think that it was that the coaching staff or anyone. It was the players that put their heart out there. And Spain deserved the win because they played better. But I think Spain had to win the World Cup so the world could see the type of people that are running the federation. Rubiales grabbing his junk next to the queen and the daughter and her daughter. Disgusting. Rubiales kissing a player, Jenny Hermoso, on the biggest stage and in the biggest day of her career. It's not okay. It's not professional. Disgusting. Rubiales lifting the player on his shoulders, also not professional. Rubiales asked Hermoso to be next to him for his apology video and ask her family after she declined if she could be in the video. Like, again, disgusting. I want to stay hopeful that something will be done, but at the same time, I'm fearful that they're not going to do anything. They're just going to give him like a slap on the wrist and call it a day. And according to Infantino, women just have to push the doors to get what they want. I mean, this World Cup is proof that people want to see women play. It's time for women to get the investment they deserve. And we're here. We're pushing the doors, Infantino. Now do something.
I'm clapping. I'm clapping. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Yes, I like the you got to speak to the manager when I'm the manager kind of thing when it came to Infantino.
You know that right? Meme from that show with the guy in the hot dog suit? We're all trying to find the guy who did this. That's it.
Exactly it. That's exactly it. That was going to be my next comment. That's exactly it. It's so frustrating. And obviously, you know, to your point, Ruby, for these women to fight their entire career to create a lane for themselves, to get out from underneath the shadow of the men to win a World Cup, which is amazing, to have that overshadowed again, to bring it back to what men do is it's disgusting and it's frustrating. And yeah, again, I hope we go past that. And a lot of the comments online, I try to stay away from comment sections online, but it just seemed like the same thing that goes back to if you talk about like Richie Burke or you talk about Paul Riley, it's well, they won a championship. So the ends always justify the means, right? That's kind of the justification that was given online for a lot of these actions when obviously that's not the case. And there's no one way to do something. And yeah, the ends never always justify the means to get there.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And I do want to get back to what you said, Jenna, about, you know, obviously the growth of the sport, all that. That was the big thing kind of take away from all of the African nations that made it into the knockout round. And if we want to talk about the overall things about the tournament, as you mentioned, 2 million fans attended the World Cup in Australia and New Zealand. That was up more than 600,000 on the previous record. 10 of the 64 matches attracted crowds of the 45,000 plus. The final match drew 12 million viewers on BBC One, making it the most watched women's soccer match in UK history and the second most watched event for BBC this year behind the inauguration of King Charles III. The Australia semifinal loss to England had an average TV audience of 7.2 million, and it peaked out at 11.15 million. Australia's most watched broadcast ever. Since the figures were recorded, the screen share in Spain for the final was peaked at 71%. This whole tournament was an overwhelming success. And I just echo everything you both have said. It's past due for investing in women's soccer. There's no more excuses at this point. As Ms. Purse says, you're stupid if you don't. The level of soccer in this tournament was so good. And with the expanded field, there wasn't a single team in that tournament that didn't deserve to be there. Shout out to all the underdogs. Obviously, South Korea knocking out Germany was something to behold. You know, a player that's 16 years old at a new Pingree, you know, going to school in Pingree, New Jersey, keeping Germany out of the knockout round is unthinkable. We had so many of those stories this World Cup. It was amazing.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I spent a lot of time looking at Italy's team, and, you know, they had a 16-year-old on their squad, and it's just like a super young team, and just kind of seeing also just some of the future players, the future stars of some of these squads. I mean, it's just incredible. Like, we got a taste of that in what I think was one of the most competitive World Cups we've seen in our, you know, adult lifetimes. I don't honestly can't really remember too much of the details from when I was a kid in the 90s. I mean, I'm 23. I wasn't born then. but yeah, absolutely. It was just so crazy that you could not predict what would happen next. And honestly, I loved it. And the Spain-England final was so fun to watch. Oh my gosh. So what an entertaining final. The score might have only been 1-0, but it was really entertaining.
It really was. I want to mention the MVP of this game, the post. Like, hello. The post was like making it like an appearance almost every game, even at the final. England couldn't get that goal because of the post.
Mm-hmm. But Mary Earps and that penalty save.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Incredible stuff.
Let's talk about the coverage of the World Cup. I'm curious your thoughts on just the overall coverage. I know you said you are in Italy. But what are your thoughts, Jen, on this coverage?
Yeah, I mean, my Italian, obviously I was watching it in Italian, which was good for me because interestingly enough, my vocabulary is the strongest talking about soccer because of my wife, because she only speaks Italian. I joke when she's mad at me or watching soccer. So it was a really good opportunity for me to try to like brush up on it, which I appreciated. But, you know, like they didn't do a ton in terms of like pre-match, post-match, you know, commentary. They barely had a halftime show. So it definitely left something to be desired. And, you know, like I said, and a little bit previously, the media coverage outside of like the actual broadcast was like equally grim. They actually, their highest scoring striker, Girelli, she made it, obviously they interviewed her on TV a few times and they misspelled her name. It's like misspelling. I'm trying to think of like it's like misspelling Alex Morgan. It's like that's one of your stars of your team, and you have like the main news broadcast of the nation misspelling her name. They put Gibella instead of Girelli. It's not even remotely close. Just stuff like that. You know, they barely made the newspapers. They barely made that, you know, it was just frustrating to see a little bit. So.
Yeah. on that misspelling, I don't know if you saw, but today someone posted that Katie Mewis instead of Kristy Mewis gained more followers than Alex.
My buddy Molly over at Adweek, she messaged me about it too, and I was like, "What?" the third newest sister, Katie Mewis.
Katie Mewis, somewhere out there doing her thing too. but for real, I would just want to say thank God that I had the option to watch it on Peacock, and I know Spanish, so I was able to understand, and I love Andres Cantor on like the broadcast. He's so amazing, and you know, they go all out with their goal. Yeah, I love that. But yeah, again, the viewership, it was incredible. A lot of records. That's great to see. What about you, Gary?
Yeah, I echo your sentiment. Shout out to Peacock and Telemundo. Like, I didn't have to listen to a single Fox broadcast throughout the entire tournament. There's an obvious double-edged sword. We're all asking for more outlets to pick up women's soccer, but when they do, it's like somebody who's never followed the sport, never seen the sport, they mess up the names, they mess up, you know, their, you know, everything. And it was rough, like seeing some of the commentary online, because like everybody had a World Cup show. And you can just tell that they've never covered or watched the sport, which I get it. But, you know, if I see one more, like, who's the next coach have list that has Jill Ellis on it, I'm going to go crazy.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, when once I got back to the States, I did watch the Fox broadcast. I thought the game calls were fine. Didn't have a ton of issues with those. But during that, those pre-post and halftime shows,
yeah,
that was on mute for me, I have to say.
You know how I love fan polls? I love them. So the Athletic did a fan poll of the World Cup and fans of what they thought about the World Cup. And I'm curious your thoughts on their findings of their the results. So who do you think should replace Flacco and Donoski? 38% said Wagman, 27% said Laura Harvey, 7.8% Lauren Donaldson, Emma Hayes got 2.7%, Tony Gustafson 1.5%, and then other / no name given got 21%. Any thoughts on just that list?
I mean, that tracks with what I would expect public opinion to say. I mean, I think obviously Serena Wiegman is like the coach of the moment. What she's been able to do in her career is incredible. So it's no surprise that fans would want to see her. I think Laura Harvey, who was kind of like the runner up, so to speak, when Vlatko got the job, is also makes a lot of sense. Yeah, my personal opinion is it will be none of those people. But I don't know who. I think it's going to be somebody that we're all like, oh, you know, I don't know. That's just kind of my gut feeling.
What about you, Ruby?
What was the guy, former coach from Barcelona, Luis?
Oh, that's right. There was a little bit of chatter about that on Twitter that he might be interested.
Yeah.
Former Barcelona coach?
I forget his name.
Yeah, same. That's interesting because honestly, whoever replaces my hope, my wish is to have someone who has a distinct style and wants to get that style right from the top to the bottom, from the youth leagues up. I want to see the U.S. play a distinct style that's unique to us. We can say, okay, that is U.S. soccer, because what we're doing now is kind of just, you know, playing hopeful balls in and just trying to outrun and outjump teams. Yeah. But I want someone who's got their own distinct style. All right. So do the U.S. players need to play abroad to best challenge themselves? 45% said no and 54% said yes. What do you think, Jenna?
Okay, I have like a bit of a hot take on this question. I'm going to say no, because I think that we need a more diverse selection of coaches in the NWSL. I don't know if it's necessarily about the league per se that is the difference, but I think a lot of it has to do with the coaching. Like, I'm looking at what Juan Carlos Amoros, a Spanish coach, has done with Gotham, and it's unlike anything that we've seen from any other team. I mean, I think a lot of the coaching styles, not that they're like so similar, because obviously like the teams at NWSL all have their unique style, but it's so much physicality and, you know, kick and run kind of stuff. And I think that what like Juan has been able to do for Gotham is just like a testament to what like a diverse coaching staff could like bring to this league. So for me, it's less about the league and more about the coaching in the league.
Yeah.
Everything that Jenna said, yes. Exactly what I was thinking. No, they don't have to go abroad to be better or to, you know, be in a better position at the next World Cup or the Olympics. I think the talent is here. And like Jenna says, yeah, it's all about the coach. Haven't we seen that? What happened at this World Cup with Blatko? It's all about the coach.
Yeah, the coach and the investment, the facilities, the, you know, roster depth, and obviously the opportunities have to grow here as well. And with the Super League coming again, with the USLW League, I don't think they have to, but it also depends on the player themselves.
Yeah.
Some players just need to, you know, challenge themselves by going to a new environment, learning a new style. And sometimes the style here, like, we'll take a player like Jean, who played overseas but didn't quite get the style, comes over here and she's doing pretty well. Right.
Oh my gosh, she's like a center back, like superstar now.
Yeah.
Right. And then you take a player like Vienz, who's playing here, didn't quite get the style. She goes over to Europe and she's killing it.
Oh, Serie A, welcome to Italy.
I know. So it depends on the coaches. It depends on the structure. And it also depends on the player itself. So that's, I agree with everything.
Very nuanced. All right. And I think that's right.
Should the NWSL be concerned about its global standing after this World Cup? 30% said no and 69% said yes.
First of all, nice.
Thoughts?
Second of all right, everybody, like, let's like bring it down a little bit. I think, like, obviously, like, our everyone's first reaction is like, oh, like, you know, like, US number one, we can't be anything but number one. But no, I'm not concerned about their global standing. I mean, in terms of, like, it's like physical FIFA ranking, will they drop? Maybe by a spot or two, but, like, does that really matter right now? I don't think so. And I think, you know, there's just still so much talent coming through, and I think there's changes coming, you know, coaching changes. You know, I think, what did they eliminate? Kate Margraf's position. So I think there's going to be a little bit more of soul searching, and I just can't imagine that, you know, concern about the global standing. Will the U.S. continue to be number one in perpetuity? No, but I don't think it ever could. I don't think that's a realistic goal. I think things ebb and flow. That's just natural. So yeah, I mean, I'm not concerned personally, but that's an overall, I mean, that's nearly 70% said yes. So, wow, it's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting to see that many people say yes. I do not think so. I don't think it's a concern. We have a lot of great talent, a lot of young talent, and I feel like they were not used properly or to the best of their abilities in this World Cup. Like, we have so many players that could have done a lot more. I feel like we put a lot of pressure on Sophia Smith to be like the star, the savior of this World Cup. But honestly, it should not just be one player. It should be all the players working together for one goal. It looks like it didn't really happen in this World Cup, but I don't feel like we should be concerned about their standing right now. I know they're going to come back, and just look out for them in the Olympics. They're going to come back.
As far as the NWSL is concerned, the CBA changed everything. It's going to obviously grow the sport in a great way. Obviously, players are making more money. The protections are going to be better. So I think the NWSL is going to be fine. I think that, as we're going to talk about in a couple minutes, the investment is bringing in players from outside the league in is getting better. And obviously, Gotham is leading the charge in that right now, which is very, very exciting. So I think they're totally fine. I think people are overreacting. Speaking of overreacting, I'm going to give my thoughts right away, because the last one was, is the U.S. fallen behind other nations? 44% said no, 55% said yes. That's frustrating. That's silliness. I still say, I think Flacco got everything wrong. And I said this on the podcast. And one thing that's cool about having a podcast is you're always on the record. So you can always, you have to be consistent, because you can always pull up something that says, well, you said this, you know, a week ago, and now you're saying this. But I said a couple episodes ago, right before the World Cup was about to start, I was like, it is really odd to me that the coach, Vlatko, was flying around to NWSL stadiums a couple days before the roster drop evaluating players. And for me, that was like a huge red flag, and like alarms were going off. I'm like, you've had this team for how long? You don't have a starting 11. You don't know who you're picking for this World Cup. What's going on here?
Yeah.
There's no reason for that. Yeah, there's no reason for that to happen. The talent pool is so deep. I still think we could field 2 to 3 rosters that could compete at a World Cup. That's how much talent we have. I don't think we're falling behind. We got to invest more in the NWSL, invest more in the leagues. And I think the more opportunities we're going to have, we're going to start blowing up again.
Yeah, I think that's right. I don't think the U.S. has fallen behind. I mean, I think part of it is, like you said, Vlatko clearly didn't get it right. And also other nations are catching up. And that's because of the work that the U.S. has done with their program and with their talent. So this is what we wanted to see. Again, like I said before, I did not expect the U.S. to win this World Cup. I thought we'd see them in the semifinals at least or the final. But, you know, you see what's going on around the world. You saw Spain and England beat the U.S. in those friendlies last year, you know. So yeah, I mean, the U.S. hasn't fallen behind. It's kind of like a chicken or an egg thing there. And yeah, Gary, I remember that you had said that about, you know, Vlatko going around to the stadiums looking at the players, and it's like, what was he like the night before? Like, okay, Hatch or Thompson, Hatch, like, you know, like those are things that you have to know. And it's, you know, and then it's like, okay, so you bring Ashley Sanchez, who I think is one of the best midfielders in the NWSL. She plays 0 minutes. Kristy Lewis takes the best penalty kick of all time, but that was her only touch of the World Cup. It's just some of like the player decisions were absolutely baffling to me. I mean, Alex Morgan looked just totally out of her element, not playing the way that she can really play. And so I think, yeah, I mean, I'm just kind of word vomiting at this point, but all that to say that Gary, I think you're spot on. The U.S. has not fallen behind. I think there's just a lot of wrong decisions kind of made during this tournament that can be easily corrected. And the talent pool goes on for days and days and days.
Yeah, like one thing I want to point to, like there's an obvious one I think is having Ertz playing as a center back, which is fine. I like Ertz as a center back. I think she's good. But if that was the idea, to put her as center back, why did you not play her in the lead up to the tournament as a center back? Why did you not have her club play her as a center back?
Right.
Why was that seem like a last minute haphazard decision when, you know, it just that the, like those little things, I think, show a big distrust in your roster and your decision making. So,
yeah, I agree.
Any thoughts, Ruby?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like everyone's saying he had no plan. Like he was procrastinating this whole tournament, even before the tournament. Like you say, like the night before, he was like, all right, I'm going to play this player. I'm going to pick this player and we're just going to roll with it. He wasn't expecting that LaBelle was not going to play because of the card accumulation. So Sonnet had to go in kind of like, well, just I guess we'll just put Sonnet. I mean, the good thing is that it worked out.
She's a natural center back. So you put your natural center back, although she was actually fantastic in the midfield. Yeah. But then you have Miller at the center back. Now Sonnet's in the midfield. Yeah, it just seemed like totally discombobulated the whole time. Players were on managed minutes still because they, you know, were being brought with their injuries. I mean, and look what happened at the Olympics with Ertz and Sam Uys. I could rant about that. I'll stop myself.
All right. Let's jump back over to the NWSL.
Yes.
And this is an interesting thing. The Challenge Cup, as we know it, is going away. The NWSL plans to abandon the Challenge Cup as a tournament in 2024, according to a report in The Equalizer. The league instead will stage a showcase between the winner of this year's NWSL Shield and the NWSL Championship, per the report. Okay. Your thoughts on this development?
Yeah. I mean, my first thought is, don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened. We'll miss you, Challenge Cup. But no, I think it makes sense. I think with the expansion coming, there's going to be more games. I mean, it makes sense. And, you know, I know that there have been some questions about that prize money, but, you know, I want to point out that that's not NWSL money. That was sponsor dollars that the UKG came in to raise that pool. And actually, I think I saw some players, and I don't remember who, so I don't want to like put words in anyone's mouth, tweet out like, okay, can someone like sponsor the regular season prize pool, please, instead of the Challenge Cup? But it's true. And I think, you know, I think it would be, you know, there's obviously no guarantee that there would be that prize pool, even if Challenge Cup continued, but maybe a sponsor will step up to make the general prize pool bigger, or, you know, maybe this like Super Cup style game, which I actually think is a great way to start the season. It kind of like, it's almost like a teaser trailer or something. And, you know, maybe we could put it towards that, or, you know, perhaps, you know, other investments in other places. But yeah, I think for now this makes sense. And maybe one day we could get back to having some sort of like mid-season tournament like many of the leagues have. So yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of going to miss it because, you know, it started during the pandemic. So it was really exciting to see sports back on TV. So that's what the Challenge Cup reminds me of. And the infamous glare. and the playground. So I'm gonna miss that. I guess a little nostalgic about the Challenge Cup.
But I mean
it's understandable that it's gonna go away. Too many games, it's a lot for the players. Sometimes they have 3 game weeks. That's tough. I mean, they're also more prone to injuries, which we want to avoid. Want to avoid injuries as much as possible. One more thing, not related, but I just want to put it out there. Can they redesign the championship trophy? Like, I don't like it.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway.
No. Like, we could have a whole show about that because, like, it's the what? And I saw someone say, if you can't drink out of it, it's not a good trophy.
Yeah.
It is true. 22 games is too short of a season. But I do understand throwing games in between. And its initial iteration, I thought, was terrible, having that preseason tournament, because it caused so many correlations, but they had a lot of injuries real early on because players were not fit enough to play that many games that in a short period of time in that weather. it was rough. So I liked it in the middle of the season, but I would love for this thing to be replaced with some sort of Leagues Cup, you know, maybe like the Mexican League against us, the USL That'd Super awesome. League, the W League, you know, make that like a US Open Cup kind of tournament. That would be more fun as well, however that works out. But yeah, getting over to Gotham, we have 6 games to go. Speaking of 22 games feels like too short. So how are we all feeling? Gotham is currently in third, 25 points, 1.56 points per match. 33 points was my theory that I came up with a couple years ago, and it still seems to be on point. We have 8 points to get there, and we have 6 games to do it in. The minimum results for Gotham would be 2 wins and 2 draws, or 1 win and 5 draws, which seems silly. Are the max points that Gotham can get is 43. And if we did our projected points per match, we would get 36.38. We're in. So just got to keep it going. 4 of the last 6 matches are at home, and 3 of the last 4 are going to be at home, which is awesome. 3 of those 6 are against top-tier opponents. And recent injuries aside, this deepest team in the league should have no problems completing a near miraculous turnaround from one of the worst seasons in league history to being in the hunt for the Shield and a top playoff spot. Your thoughts, Jenna?
I mean, the even if the season ended today with them in third place, like, it's still such an incredible turnaround story. Like, it's just like unbelievable what they've done. And I think with those 6 games left, it kind of stinks that they're all at home, actually. They're not all, but mostly, because they actually have a better road record than home record. So hopefully we can kind of like turn the beat around on that, as I like to say. But I know we'll talk about Esther Gonzalez later, but like, oh my gosh, could you pick like a better player to like help push this team into the playoffs? It's going to be such a boost, especially with Katie Stengel leaving. But I'm nervous. I mean, Midge and McCall coming off in the first half at the last game, like, we don't really know the extent of those injuries yet. McCall, oh my God, what a season she has been having. Just so crucial in that midfield, scoring goals, directing play. We don't know the extent of Abby Smith's injury right now. I'm so nervous. I really don't know. For me, she's actually been Gotham's best player. So just always keeping them in the games when they need to be kept in. She's a superstar. So yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we still have we have Mandy McGlynn and Michelle Bedos. I mean, come on, like, we still got good options back there. And like you always like to say, Gary, this bench is so deep, but yeah, I think they're gonna. I would confidently say they're making the playoffs, and I can confidently say I think they're still in the hunt for the Shield.
Yeah, I mean, it's always tough to see Gotham struggle at home. If they can translate the success they've had on the road in their home games, they will be a force to be reckoned with, no doubt about that. And I'm optimistic as well. They can make it happen and show what they're truly capable of.
Yeah. Going back to the last game, seeing McCall, she was on crutches at the end of that game, yeah. And then seeing Abby off on a cart. I talk about this on the main show, but my God, that field was awful.
Oh gosh!
If you go back and watch the replays of all the other games in the NWSL, and then look at that field, you're going to be appalled. It was totally chewed up. I guess that's when you have like 5 or 6 teams playing different sports on the same field, it gets like that, but. I'm not saying that's what caused the injuries, because the other team had to play on that field too, but
it doesn't help.
That was, yeah, it certainly does not help. And they're going to have the championship there, which is craziness. But yeah, I'm excited for these last 4 games. I'm excited to be home here in that crowd. I hope it's a big boost after the World Cup, because yeah, that last game against KC, I think, is going to be wild, wild.
Remember that last game against Portland last year?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. If it could even come close to half of those vibes, like, we're in business.
Absolutely. Let's get into some positive Gotham news. Mary Wittenberg is on board. Your thoughts on this big news, Jenna?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I spoke with her for a piece that went on Equalizer when she was announced. You can read up, you know, about her background there a little bit. But my just general initial thoughts are she's sincere. She's prepared. She knows the New York community, you know, from her work with New York Roadrunners. And I think she's really ready to take Gotham to the next level. And I think she's the perfect person to really integrate this team into the New York, New Jersey community.
Yeah, I mean, based on what I've seen, Mary is already taking the initiative to make a difference. She's actively putting Gotham out there, whether it's reaching out to the media to raise Gotham's profile or getting feedback from fans. She's all up for it. Mary is doing everything she can to get things moving. And I admire that. I admire it. And it's something I fully support.
Mary is a big deal. I don't know if people understand how big of a deal this actually is. For Gotham to get her is incredible. She is an A-list CEO. So Mary is, again, essentially built the New York City Marathon into one of the largest day sport events in the world as her tenure as president and CEO of the New York Roadrunners. She has built a reputation for being one of the most responsible and driven CEOs in the industry. She's raised at least $25 million per year for charity each year she's been the CEO of the New York Roadrunners. I'm just going to focus on her expertise on building a ground campaign in New York to build the marathon. If she can't do it, nobody can.
Absolutely. And I think we've all three talked about how important it is to get Gotham on the ground. And I think she's going to do it.
Yeah. I can't imagine she came cheap. So I know
money well spent.
Yeah. Gotham's really putting their money into this organization, and on the field, it's showing up. Hopefully in the crowd, it will show up as well.
Yes.
And let's get to the big signing. I know our fans have been waiting for us to talk about this, but Gotham signs Esther Gonzalez, a World Cup winner. Janet, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, wow. I obviously, you know, it's been kind of leaking, so to speak, over the past couple of months. So, you know, I wrote it up in Equalizer today so you can get my full thoughts there. And we touched on it a little bit already here, but like, what a big signing. I mean, World Cup champion, bringing over a talented player from Europe. It's just incredible. And, you know, again, I think this goes back to the coaching. I don't know if she's coming to the NWSL and to Gotham if we don't have Juan Carlos Amoros as the coach. So, yeah, I can't wait to see her on the field and see what she can do to help this team through 2025.
And an option year. That's awesome.
And an option year.
Even better. But, yeah, I mean, I think Gotham is doing big moves since the beginning of the year when we got Lynn Williams. Now we have Esther Gonzalez, which is another amazing player. Like you said, champion, World Cup champion, amazing. I've been watching her this whole championship play, and I am very, very impressed. I mean, she's the top goal scorer in Real Madrid. Also, great performance with Spain. So we're bringing a top talent to Gotham. So pretty much Gotham is putting the NWSL and New York, New Jersey on the map globally in regards to soccer, you know, and football. And, you know, more players are going to look into coming into the NWSL or even Gotham. So this is amazing. I cannot wait to see her play at Red Bull Arena.
I just saw our next topic and I'm laughing inside. But Gotham is raising the bar here. They're getting a player from Real Madrid. It's obviously that is impressive. And she's in her prime. Gotham is starting to show that New Jersey, New York is a destination, and they are willing to go out and get players. Like, say what you want about Gotham. They have really gone to work building this roster. A ton of investment has put into this club to be a top table team, not just now, but for years to come. I'm super excited about it. All right. The topic is candy corn season is upon us.
Yes, that's right. And everybody, Gary was laughing because I snuck that in there right before we started recording so he wouldn't have time to see it before he scrolled down to that part of the page. I just have to say, I know it's only August 23rd, but tomorrow is August 24th. And, you know, Starbucks pumpkin spice latte is coming back. And I gotta say, I'm not like a huge fan of the pumpkin spice latte from Starbucks specifically, but they are going to have an apple crisp. Like shake and espresso. So I'm excited for that. And so all of this really means that it's candy corn season. So I will be bringing a bag to the next home game this weekend so we can all partake in candy corn merriment. And that is all I have to say.
I'll eat some. I mean, it's not my favorite candy, but if it's there, I'll eat it. It's okay.
That's right. I mean, my favorite candy is like anything chocolate based. Like I love anything chocolate, but like, yeah. Candy corn is just like, I think either Sam Ewis or Lynn Williams on one of the Snacks podcasts called it fall in the palm of your hands. And I'm like, that's exactly what it is. So I'm ready.
It's true. All right. I'm ready for this next game against Racing. I'm glad to get back into Red Bull Arena. I can't wait. It's going to be fun. You all ready?
Yes. I'm
ready.
Yes. Can't wait.
Let's go.
Hi everyone, this is Gary. Thank you for listening and supporting our project. Here are other ways you can support the show and connect with us. First, word of mouth is everything. So please share our show with anyone who might listen. Also, please rate us 5 stars on Spotify and review us on iTunes. You can purchase our merchandise at the TeePublic store. Join in the conversation on Twitter at OverGothamPod and Instagram at SoccerOverGotham. Lastly, you can email your thoughts and questions at SoccerOverGotham@gmail.com. Once again, thank you.